it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a breaking ball, hit well, right center field, up the alley, and that one is on its way.
Right.
It's gone, and Kyle Schwarber has matched that major league record. His 53rd home run of the season, his 22nd of the year against a left-handed pitcher. And the Phillies jump out to a 1-0 lead.
Well, Schwarber's done it a lot this year, 53. So he's got a shot.
Yeah.
At Ryan Howard's record. Now, it's unlikely because he's got to get 5 to tie, 6 to pass him, and he's got 11 games to go. And we don't know that he'll play in all 11.
Oh, but I think he will. He hasn't missed a game yet, and apparently 162 matters to him from what I've heard. So, like, I think he's going to play all of them.
Well, you know my thing. Play them all, James.
Yeah.
Play them through.
Look, you've won me over, like we talked about. The bullpen especially. Like, I need the bullpen to get work over that five-day stretch. I just need it.
And they are going to get the bye. I mean, they are 5.5 games up on the Dodgers. So you can pretty much put that in your back pocket. And now it's just a matter of really two things. One is, do the Phillies pass the Brewers? Which they probably won't, but might. And the other is the jockeying beneath them for, you know, 3-6, 4-5. Who are those teams? I mean, you know who some of the teams are going to be. But, like, do the Mets make the playoffs or not?
Can you imagine if they did?
I know. I know.
Steve Cohen. He should probably stay off Twitter.
Steve Cohen, that guy. So a lot of good stuff with the Phils. Obviously, we look forward to playoff baseball, which will begin, I think it's the Saturday?
So the,
after
for,
the, you know,
it's October 4th, yeah.
Well, I'm saying for the Phillies.
For the Phillies. Yeah. It would be October 4th. You're correct. It would be the Saturday after, like, the wild card series. It's the Saturday, October 4th.
Yeah.
Then they would be off, and then they would play the 6th. So the first two home games, assuming they get the 2 seed or the 1 seed, would be the 4th and the 6th.
Get out of here. There's a day off after game
one?
Because
the all 4 playoff games are on day one, Saturday, and then the AL games are Sunday. NL games Monday. Huh. I know. Lame.
All right. Well.
But that's the reason they could do the pitching thing.
Right.
That's the reason they can wait till
That's why they only need 3 regular starters.
And it changes every year. Last year, the NL didn't have the day.
Yep.
So each year it goes back and forth.
All right. Phone calls and everything today. Seth in media right now. Seth, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be back on the air with you guys.
What's up, Seth?
So, man. First of all, I've been saying this since July. The Phillies are going to win the World Series. I am as confident in that as I was the week before the Eagles decimated the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Why? Give me the why, because I don't feel that. Why?
I'll tell you exactly why. It has to do a big. Now I'm not gonna front like losing Zach Wheeler didn't hurt, but the rest of that pitching staff has absolutely picked it up. But the biggest part is the same reason. The reason why they're going to win is the reason why they lost the last couple of years. This team and this core group of guys. They need to swing their way into the damn playoffs. That's how they do it. They swing their way in. They can't be 20 games ahead midway through the season and coast, right? They got to work for it. They got to have teams jumping at their heels to try and push them.
You know, I don't know about that. Listen, Seth, maybe, but let me just give you a better case. Stott and Marsh might have saved their place on the team next year. I mean, you want to talk about people being on their heels? You go back to July, Stott and Marsh, it was like these guys might not be on the team next year. And maybe they hit their way out of it based on the fire they felt from that impetus. But go ahead, keep going.
Well, you're proving my point. Is whether or not they're playing, so they may have saved their spot on the team last year. We're talking about this year. And in order for that to happen, you remember what happened with the 08 Phillies? The bottom of the order was lighting it up. The core group of these guys are going to do what they're going to do, right? They're going to hit, but I think they really do, like Harper and Schwarber's been on fire, but Turner and stuff like these guys, they feed off of when the bottom half of the order is stepping up and doing their part, you know, like they're perfectly capable of carrying a team, but when everybody's hitting, you know, it's just like they say the ballpark, everybody hits.
Yeah.
That's what this team means. That's what they're doing. And when the bottom half of the order hits, when you get guys like Bader that comes in, I mean, he's basically the 2.0 version of Jason Worth. You know, like these are the guys that put them over the top. And I've had this discussion on air with Rube and you guys before. This what makes a really good team great is when all of the small pieces of this team step up and do the small things they're supposed to do, like getting on base, like driving in runs when they're on. You know what I mean? Like,
I do know what you mean.
And that's the intangible. Yeah. I started seeing that like earlier, like midway through the season, and I started having this overwhelming feeling. I was like, if they keep playing like this, man, they are going to play themselves deep in the playoffs.
Listen, Seth,
there's symbiotic stuff going on with these these outfielders.
Yeah, but Seth, there's something key here.
They're vibing off of one another and raising one another's level of play.
All right, I'm with all of that. He also had a big word: if they continue, .. Like, will it really shock anyone if Marsh and Stott stop hitting? Won't for me. And I'm not. This isn't me being a pessimist.
I do believe that in Stott's case, it was a mechanical thing that has been corrected.
Well, I hope you're right. Let's listen to Bryson Stott post game in the locker room. I mean, I'm pumped up. I'm not trying to throw water on the situation. I'm just saying we'll see if these guys all hit.
Is it
you're
throwing on them then? If it's not water, is it?
It's
lemonade.
Blanket.
You know,
blanket. Go to sleep, guys. Take a nap. That's what I need. Right. I need a nap. Let's listen to Bryson Stott. He certainly did not need a nap. These guys were celebrating hard last night. After the game, Bryson Stott with Tom McCarthy.
Bryson, obviously, this is kind of old hat, but it's always cool to see. Give me an idea of what that feeling was like when Bryce made that last out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long season, and it's just it doesn't get old, for sure.
That pop-up we were just talking about, did your heart sort of drop a little bit when you went back and tried to pick that one off the air?
Not drop, maybe stop, but not drop.
Give me an idea of what celebrating's like, what this is like from a baseball player's standpoint, just to have this kind of celebration.
Yeah, I mean, you go to spring training and you look at the schedule and just game after game, so it's a long year, and anytime you get into the postseason, it's an amazing feeling, and winning the division is great, and we know there's more work to do, and this group of guys is amazing, and been together for a little bit now, so we know how to celebrate with each other and who gets it going. So
I will say this. I thought it was cool that Rob pointed out guys that were left behind: Jose Alvarado, Trey Turner, Romano. I know Alec Boehm is here, but you guys have had so many contributions this year from everybody.
Yeah, Wheels too. Just having those guys go down, and obviously you lose an ace, and there's one Zach Wheeler in the world, so just everyone pick it up a little bit, and then Trey goes down, and Mano goes down, and Boehm, and just people coming up and picking up where they left off. They got sent down, or Weston's having good at-bats, and just a 1-9, and just take it one pitch at a time.
All right. That funnel was pretty funny, too. Bryson Stott, guys.
All right, Bryson Stott with Tom McCarthy, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Let me end good
interview.
The funnel
was pretty good, he said at the end there.
Let me ask you guys a question. Force choice, tough one. Phillies or Eagles win the championship in the next, 5 months? One of them. Preference.
Phillies.
What do you mean, preference?
Yeah, so you go Phillies.
It's definitely Phillies for me, too.
Okay, two. John? Phillies or Eagles? You get one of them.
Man, this is nuts.
One is two in a row for the town. One is two in a row for the team,
and two in 1 year for the town.
And well, that's what I mean when I say yeah. I mean technically not two in a row.
It's two in a row for one team, or two in a year is what the choice is.
Because the Sixers and Flyers are in there, but you know what I'm saying.
I'd love the unprecedentedness of going back to back for the Eagles.
So they're both unprecedented in different ways. Because we've never
in
had,
Philly they in are Philly. Not other towns obviously.
We've never
not
had
in Boston.
We've
yeah,
never
in Boston
had two
they've
in a
done
year.
Both those things.
Here's
yeah.
the thing: I view last year's Eagles as last year. Like while they won it in February, I kind of view it as it's 2024.
Would win in 2026 if they won. So the point being that it would be yes, I agree with you.
You know, it's
it's a different year.
I think I would lean Phillies. I think I lean Phillies just because this group hasn't done it.
Yeah.
So I think
that's
it would
the
be,
biggest part for me is Bryce Harper and those guys winning a title.
But two in a row by a team, hasn't happened in 50 years in Philly.
Just to see this Citizens Bank Park thing go through a win. You know, we've had so much fun down at that ballpark the last three playoffs, and this one we will too. Like, to see that end in happiness, that whole experience, I think would be a really neat thing.
Here's
and
the
then
other
as
thing.
Soon as the Phillies win it, I'll change my mind and put the Eagles
I
in.
I know, I get it. Well, Ray, you know what the other thing is? Is if the Phillies do not win the World Series, and they probably won't because 12 teams make
will
the playoffs.
You please stop
because 12
that?
Teams make
he's
the playoffs.
It's right. It's correct.
Here's the, but here's the
other thing.
But
Ray,
you know next year,
yes.
If they don't win it this year, April through September, we're going to have 5 million complainers again during the regular season every time they lose two in a row.
I think it will depend on where they go out.
How far?
Yeah, how far they go. If they go out in the first round, oh, people, yeah, you can forget about it.
Yeah, that
well,
yeah.
The funny thing is the Eagles did win the Super Bowl, and we got people complaining two games into the Eagles season.
I'm one of
yeah,
them.
That's my point. So maybe yeah. If they did win the World Series, we'd still get the calls. Who
and
knows?
And you know what my words are? Pick it up, Jalen. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mark in Delaware. Mark, good morning.
Yo, Joe, how you doing? If there's an option C, I'd pick both. I think that's pretty obvious.
Sure.
Listen, the show is fabulous. I told James I don't get a chance to call in much. I'm driving that truck, but I listen every day. And you are the best radio host in the history of radio shows, period, point blank. You entertain me. You make me laugh. You make me cry. And sometimes I want to come over there and punch you in the face.
Wait a minute. Are you talking to me or Richie? No, that's a serious question. Punch in the face.
You
there's no reason
I'm
to punch me in the face.
Joe,
why would you punch me in the face?
I've got a list. How much time you got?
Give me the best Redford movie. He passed away earlier today. Best Robert
well,
Redford.
You know what? It's probably not going to win, but I particularly love Spy Game, and I don't know if a lot of people saw it, but it is.
It's Rhea, my favorite.
Rhea said that too.
Yep, it's my favorite.
Good job, Rhea.
Great minds think alike.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. What do you got, Mark?
Well, you're the great one. My mind's probably all over the place. Anyway, I want to talk about Nick Sirianni. Congratulations to the Phillies, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I owe an apology to Nick because a couple of years ago, I left a Times Jurist message and I told him to go back to Uniondale.
Mm.
I believe he is not just a good coach. I believe he is a great coach.
I do, too. Yep.
And a lot of people... You know, a lot of my friends text me on a weekly, I don't like this guy. All he does is, you know.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to pump up his hand, pump up his fist, and he's a great coach for one main reason. All the things we don't know about that he does during the week. He keeps this giant Kelly Green, Midnight Green ball of yarn together. That's yeah. what he does.
He communicates with his players yeah. at an unprecedented level that I don't think any of us can really understand. He gets through to them where yeah. other coaches around this league, we know they don't. When you watch the way these players play for him, the way they sacrifice for him, the way they pursue, the way they tackle, the way they do the things that hurt, you know, like the things that suck, they do them. Yeah. And it's because they're committed to one another and they're committed to this guy who's at the top. That they all love,
you know,
Nick Sirianni.
Mark, here are the two words I'd put to it, and maybe communication should be one of the two, but it's not for me. I would say the hallmarks of him are details and culture. I think he's really exceptional at both.
And I think the A.J. Brown thing is probably the most, the greatest example. The guy wants the ball, and I want my receiver to want the ball. I want my receiver to have a little diva aspect because he is a great receiver. What did he miss? 4 games last year, 3 games, and still had 1,000 yards. Bottom line is if you watch AJ play on every play, he never dogs it. And that means the coach behind the scenes is pulling him aside basically and saying, I'd love to get you the ball 11 times.
Yeah.
But you got to block on every play.
Yep.
So I just want to apologize to Nick again and tell him I think he is a great coach. And I hope that this is as long a tenure, if not longer, than when Andy was here. And Andy was a great coach too. But the bottom line is this guy is the guy that keeps it together behind the scenes. Also, and I'll leave you with this because I know you got other callers, great leaders know when to step back. And a few years ago, he said, I'm not the play caller. And I think we all were like scratching our heads saying, what is this guy doing?
He's well, not that was the first
no.
year.
Yeah, it was about six or seven games in.
Look, there's no
I agree.
Way
that, I agree.
There's no way yeah. we can construe that as a real positive.
I disagree. Like, Totally disagree.
John, and I'll tell you why.
At least it wasn't a disaster.
Well, it wasn't a disaster, but a great leader recognizes their own downfalls. And when you say, I'm going to hand the reins over to somebody else, like I did after year one in my marriage because I was controlling the checkbook. I told her Ray Romano I had two checkbooks. I handed the reins over to my wife and said, I'm not the leader of this household. You are. So we're going to leave you with this.
Look at you,
we're
Mark.
Down here. Down
smart
here
move, Mark.
Well, Mark, when I'm the president.
G-L-E-S-E-V-O.
All right, Mark, good work, buddy.
There is a problem, though, with it. I mean, even though it was very smart of him to do because it wasn't working.
Sure.
You wind up in the situation where you got a new play caller every single year.
Look, ideally, he'd be better at it.
That is the root of the offensive inconsistency.
But both things can be.
The fact that we have to go back and start from scratch year after year.
They had to do it with Kellen, and they won the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But I'm saying it is.
No, there's a positive and a negative.
Yeah.
The negative is very clear. You have to start over all the time.
You need to find somebody as old as Vic Fangio.
I agree.
Pretty much.
Although, he seems, I think he's old, like not as old as I think he is.
I agree.
66, I think he is.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just one of those guys.
It's the thing, though. Coaching is really a young man's game. I mean, we saw it with Belichick, you know, Belichick out of the league at 72. Like, it's rare. You don't, like, there's no coaches over 70. None.
Well, Pete Carroll is.
Yeah, Pete Carroll.
Oh, I forgot Pete Carroll came back. Yeah. There were none. Pete Carroll came back. But, like, the point is, it's rare. Like, it's a young man's game.
It's going to be a woman's
Pete
game
Carroll
at some point.
Still
a young woman's.
Man.
You're right. I'm saying a young person's.
Hey, did you guys see the story about 2 weeks ago? Dawn Staley said she would have taken the next job.
Yep.
Really?
She came out publicly. She said she would have taken it.
Notice she didn't say she'd take the Sixers job.
I think she would take
well, the
that job.
The job's not there, maybe, you know?
No, but I thought that was great. She said she would have taken
Knicks,
it.
What I'm saying is the Knicks team is more like a team that she would rather coach than the Sixers team.
Listen, I hear you. And
I
she
mean,
even
outside of Tyrese Maxey, who sure. should anybody.
Well, I'm excited for the guards. I mean, but they're not going to lead them anywhere anytime soon. You know, it's just too far away for Edgecombe, Maxey, and McCain. But it's a good starting group of guards. I mean, there's a lot of teams in basketball that would like to have those three guards. And, you know, John, if you remember, we had a poll a couple months ago when they drafted Edgecombe, who's going to have the best career?
Mm-hmm.
You can make a case for all three of them. I mean, Edgecombe's the highest pick by far. He's the third pick in the draft. McCain had the best rookie year of the two that have played so far. When I say rookie year, in his like 25, 30 games, whatever it was. And then obviously Maxey
balling
has achieved
out
the most so far. So, but they need help in the front. They need the big guy. They need the big guy in a bad way. All right, 215-592-9494. James, give me the date. When do we find out if Joel Embiid is going to be like, you know.
So what's the season start now? Did they move back? Is it like November, early November? It used to be like Halloween. I feel like it's like early November. I will say we'll find out like October 5th.
And it's going to be another one of those he's not ready, right?
Yeah, probably.
Right?
No, I mean, they're putting videos out and
stuff. I think the day you were sick last week was the day that they put out videos.
I mean,
no brace.
It's like Ben Simmons style.
Doing it again.
We're doing shots.
Well, here's the problem, though. And seriously, all jokes aside, because we're joking a little bit about the video stuff and all that.
But it's not funny at all.
It's not funny. Here's the problem. He might be able to play, but not be great anymore. You know, not be exceptional. Because, guys, when he played last year, he was not elite. He was not elite. He played, but he was not elite. And so there's a difference between, because Grant Hill and Anthony Hardaway played for another 10 years after their injuries, but they just weren't great anymore. So, you know, number one is, can he play? Number two is, can he play at an elite level? Well, we're going to know in the next couple months. Show to Cameron Generici, 215-592. Time's yours and more up ahead. Next on 94 WIP. Let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. You know, they're getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you will not want to miss, where new customers can bet just $5. And with that $5 bet, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. It's an incredible, and I would say, you know, ridiculously unique opportunity. I mean, you bet $5. Tell me where you can go down the street, bet $5, and if you win, you get an extra $300. You kidding me? That's what you get with FanDuel.com/hammer. FanDuel.com/hammer for new customers. That first bet, $5 bet, you win it, but you also get $300 in bonus bets. Awesome at FanDuel.com/hammer. You can look ahead to Philly and Los Angeles in Week 3 football. Obviously, all the college football, all the other pro football games, all available for you at FanDuel.com/hammer.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
what
people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him.
him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.